Amen. If you have a Bible, join me in Joshua chapter 4. Joshua 4 is where we're going to be at today as we continue in our series, our study of Joshua. And interesting enough, we're at a point that the nation of Israel, last week we looked at Rahab and the spies that were sent into Jericho to kind of scout out. And then Jericho was that first strategic battle point, that first strategic city after crossing the Jordan River that Israel had to begin to go to battle with to be able to subdue and to take possession of the rest of the land. And so we see that the Lord was good and gave favor to those spies, and Rahab demonstrated an unbelievable, real, and genuine faith as she trusted God, and even the author of Hebrews even notes her faith. But today we're going to look at something that happened during the Jordan crossing, as the nation of Israel quite literally walked on a highway across a river that God provided as he rolled back that water. A little like the song that we sang just a moment ago. As we look at Joshua chapter 4, we're going to discover how important it is to never forget the faithfulness of God. How important it is to never forget the things that God has done in our life. But first, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you speak into our heart and you challenge us and that you remind us of your faithfulness and your goodness. And Father, I pray that as we follow you into the various places that we live, as we follow you into our homes, as we follow you into the marketplace, as we follow you into our places of work, as we follow you to the ball fields, Father, may we be a people who never forget who you are and what you've done. Most importantly, what you're capable of in our life. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, one of our boys got a new mountain bike, and we picked it up at the store, and I had a truck back then, and so we were going over to some friend's house right afterwards, and we just left in the back of the truck, and after a while, some of the kids that were over there at the house were playing, and my son wanted to get his bike out, and so he got his bike out, and he was riding around a little bit, kind of getting used to it, and I said, hey, let me take it for a spin. Do y'all see there's a problem about to happen, you know? This is where I build the tension in the story anyway. And so I get on the bike and I'm you know, just kind of riding along and I'm getting a little more confidence. It's been probably 15 years at that point since I'd ridden a bike at all. And so I'm riding this bike and I'm feeling good. I'm standing up on it, you know, a little bit, getting more confident. And so I'm riding down there, a little bit of a slant of their driveway. I'm standing up on the bike and I said, you know what? I need to slow down. And so I gently tap the brake. Just so you know, on a new bike, there's no gently tapping the brake. I tapped the brake, and before I knew it, I was flying over the handlebars of that bike. I caught myself with my hands. I didn't skin my face up. You know, you wouldn't want to mess anything this pretty up. You're supposed to laugh there. It's funny. It's a joke. Y'all really need to wake up. Angie, more caffeine next week. Anyway, and so I fall over the handlebars of the bike, and I'm crashed there, and that's where I'm at. And I did that because I had forgotten how to ride a bike. It would be silly with someone my size standing up on a bike to tap the brakes on a bike knowing that I'm probably going to go forward. You know, that day I had forgotten what it was like to ride a bike. You know, we forget things. We forget our keys. We forget our locker combination. We forget the food that we had cooking. Anybody ever burnt something? You had it cooking, you forgot. We've all forgotten those things. And when we forget those things, we either get locked out or we have to go eat a sandwich that night because we burn our food. I mean, the reality is there's consequences when we forget some things. When it comes to our relationship with God, it comes to following him. It's the same is true in our lives. We can be forgetful. We can get so busy with life and overwhelmed with trials and distractions and the things that we're dealing with in life and so distracted by the enemy and so tempted by the things of this world. The reality is that we can forget how good our God is and how faithful he's been to us. And when we forget, there's real consequences like distance from God and falling into sin and falling into destructive habits. And as we dive into Joshua chapter 4 here in just a minute, we're going to understand something very powerful. And if you get nothing out of the message, get this, because this will help you remember Joshua chapter 4. Our faithfulness is tethered to our forgetfulness. Our faithfulness to God is tethered to what we remember and what we understand about our God. And the reality is this, is that if we forget how good God is, we forget how faithful He is, our tendency is to become a little faithless. But as we remember how good God is, we remember how faithful He is, we tend to be more faithful. And we see God doing something in Joshua chapter 4 to help the people of God remember. And Joshua chapter 4 comes right after the Joshua 3 that tells us the story of the Jordan crossing. And the story of the Jordan crossing is kind of powerful, that God actually stops the waters of the Jordan River from flowing and creates this pathway for this million plus people to walk across so they can go and possess the land that God had promised them. Pretty cool. That God would do something like that. That God would move in that way. And as they're crossing the Jordan in Joshua chapter 4, God gives some instructions to Joshua. Some instructions to remember that moment. Some instructions to never forget. Some things that they could do that would help them never forget what God is up to never forget what God is going to do. Remember, our faithfulness is often tethered to our forgetfulness. So what must we never forget? Well, what are the things of God that we must never forget? Three things today I want you to see. Number one, never forget what God has done. Never forget what God has done. Joshua receives some instructions from God, and then God gives him a little bit of a reason, an explanation for these instructions. He says, I want you to do something, and then he tells him why he wants them to do that. He gives him some explanation for what these instructions are. But first, let's just look at those instructions. Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse 1 down to about verse 5. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, and the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe and man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from every place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and then bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you will lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel. Now, God's instructions to Joshua really aren't complicated. I mean, as the waters of the Jordan are pulled up, and the Ark of the Covenant is what led the people of God, and the priest holding the Ark are standing in the middle of the Jordan River, he says, okay, go around them and pick up some stones. Excuse me. Pick up 12 stones. Each 12 men pick up one stone apiece, and they bring them out. It was really simple instructions. But those 12 stones and that very simple set of instructions had some profound implications for Israel. You know, quite often God asks us to do some very simple things, doesn't he? God does the very simple things. Go talk to that neighbor. Go give to that particular need. Go serve those kids at camp this week. Go teach that class. God gives us simple instructions quite often. But the question for us is, will we obey? I mean, this morning, all of us really did obey some very simple instructions for the most part, didn't we? I mean, we got up this morning and we knew we wanted to go to worship the Lord, and we know that God talks about how important it is to not forsake the assembling of together. And so we got up this morning and we made decisions. And those of us who've been coming to church for a long time, it probably was kind of almost a routine for us. And we got up and we just did it. We just went to church and you're here. God calls us quite often to do some very simple steps of obedience. The question is, will we obey? Will we talk to our neighbor that he's calling us to talk to? Will we hold the door open for that person that he's telling us we need to hold the door open for them? Are we going to take the meal to that person that's hurting that we really feel God prompting us to? Will we go and pray for that person that God's telling us to pray for? Will we go and serve that person that God's telling us to serve? Will we be part of that thing that God is telling us to be part of? The simple action that God called Israel to had some profound effects for them. And the simple acts of obedience that God's calling you to and he's calling me to have some profound impact on our lives, but also the kingdom of God. And so the question for you and the question for me is will we obey? Now, why was this so important? I mean, what's the explanation that God gives Joshua that we see for all of this going on. What was the reason for these 12 stones? What was the reason for this simple act of obedience? Let's pick up in verse 6. Verse 6 says, talking about those 12 stones that those 12 men carried to the place they would stay that night. And I'll tell you later on how far of a hike that was, holding a big boulder. It was a pretty good distance. Verse 6 says, that this may be a sign among you. Listen to this. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off from before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passes over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. Now listen to verse 9. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there to this day. Why is it so important to remember? Why must we never forget what God has done? We see two reasons here in these verses. Two reasons why it's so important that we never forget the things that God has done. First of all, so future generations will know. When Joshua was explaining the reason for these 12 stones to be picked up and taken to Gilgal, which is a good little hike, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, but when he sets this up, these 12 stones in the middle of the river, when all of this happens, it happens so that future generations will know what God is up to and what God had done. This memorial that was built to be a talking point. A talking point with families so that when children and future generations passed it, that those that were senior to them would be able to say, this is a reminder of what God had done and what God has done in our past and how faithful God is and how good God is. I mean, it would be hard for those that walked across that riverbed on dry ground. It'd be kind of hard for them to forget that. But for next generation, it'd be tough. Folks, we have a responsibility to the next generation to pass on the gospel. We have a responsibility to tell them of the faithfulness of God. We have a responsibility to our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren to tell them of God's excellentness, to tell them how great our God is, to remind them. And we should do that as we're driving down the road. We should do that as we're sitting at the dining table. We should do that in every facet of our life. We should remind them of what God has done. One of my best childhood memories are the time spent with my grandfather. My grandfather passed away 20-something years ago. It was in 97. I think it's going to be about 25 years ago now. He's been gone a long time. But my best memories were sitting there talking to him. Sitting there in his garage, and my grandfather had a couple of milk crates we'd sit on in the garage. He'd put padding on so they weren't so bad. And we'd sit on those milk crates, and we'd just talk about life. And he taught me how to use tools, and I was going to go to a World Changers trip when I was in high school, and he sat down the month before and said, okay, boy, we're going to learn how to do stuff. You're going to learn how to operate a circular saw and all this stuff. And at one point, they set me in a bathroom and said, we need you to replace the floor. I took all the subflooring out and everything and put new flooring in and put down tile. I don't know how I did that, but I'm grateful for my grandfather. It's a different story for a different time. But you know, the best times of my grandfather were him sitting down talking about how they navigated the Great Depression and how he navigated World War II and how he navigated life and the stories and raising his children. And my grandfather would always talk about God's faithfulness, how God provided when he was hungry, how God provided when he had no place to sleep, how God provided. We owe it to our children and our grandchildren and to our great-grandchildren, to set into their heart and mind a reminder of God's faithfulness. We need to be telling the stories of God's goodness. We need to be telling them what God has done. We need to be reminding them so future generations will know. That's why this memorial was set, and that's why we as a people of God need to be setting reminders into the stories of our families, into our children, into their lives. But that's not the only reason why we never forget what God has done. We do it so future generations will know, but we also do so that we'll let go of the past. Verse 9, that verse, I told you to listen to this carefully. Verse 9 says this, "And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day." So not only did they take out 12 stones and carry them to Gilgal, but they took 12 stones and Joshua had them heaped up in the Jordan, so that when the waters of the Jordan crashed back in place, that monument sat covered, but there to the writing, and possibly even to this day. Now, what does that have to do with anything? This memorial marked a breaking of the past. This memorial marked a breaking of their past. They were no longer a people wandering the wilderness. They were no longer a people seeking their own way. They were the people of God walking in the promises of God. See, the reason that we need to never forget our past is that we need to realize that once we place our faith in Christ, we are people walking in the promises of God. We're walking in His goodness. We're walking in a relationship and fellowship with Him. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans 6. He said, "What shall we say then? Are we continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death." And listen to this. "In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father," now here's the best part, "we too may walk in newness of life." And maybe you came here today to be reminded of what God has done and what God has done in your life. Because you need to be reminded there was a point in which you were saved and everything's changed. And though the enemy seeks to bring up your past, and even though the enemy seeks to bring up your failures, if you are in Christ, your past is gone. Your sin has been cleansed. You have a fresh start with the God of the universe. Your slate has been wiped clean. As the people of God, we need to never forget what God has done. But that's not all. Right in the middle of all this that was going on, we see that God was doing some things currently. He was doing some things even in the midst of the Jordan crossing and the picking up of the stones and the building of memorials. God was still doing some things. And that reminds us of the second idea. Never forget what God is doing. Never forget what God has done, but never forget what God is currently doing. Actively doing. In the next few verses, we're going to see three different things that God had done in the nation of Israel in that moment. And these are three things that God is currently actively doing even today in our generation. Three things that God is actively working and moving. And the first one is this: God works behind the scenes. Never forget what God is doing, because God is working behind the scenes. Look at verse 10 and 11. It says, "For the priest bearing the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan." So they're just holding the ark, holding with those poles. So they didn't touch it, because they touched it, they would die. And they were just holding it. And Joshua set up, verse 10 says, "For the priest bearing the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people passed over in haste. When all the people had finished passing over, the ark of the Lord and the priests passed over before the people." You hear all these instructions going on, and the priests are out there in the middle. The water's rolled up, and they're just standing there. And in this moment, we see the hand of God holding back the Jordan River. God was working behind the scenes. God was making a straight way for His people. And even today, God's working behind the scenes in your life. He's working behind the scenes in the life of our church. He's working behind the scenes in all these areas of our life. And even though it seems like all we're doing is just standing on dry ground, folks, the ground is dry because God made it so. The path is straight because God made it so. And we as the people of God need to never forget what God is actively doing in our life, He's working behind the scenes to deliver his people safely. He's working behind the scenes. Even if we're going through difficulty, God is still working behind the scenes. Julie and I were newlyweds, and I'm serving in a church in Middle Tennessee. And we had a youth event one night, and we rented out the local kind of fair room for this big event. It was a Super Bowl party. We had like over 100 students, and one of those challenges where the youth minister gets something thrown at him for over 100 kids, and we did all that, and it was a great night. We saw some kids come to faith in Christ, and we go to get in our car that night, and we go to crank it, nothing. And so we leave, and we had somebody in the church member went and took a look at it and said, oh yeah, this is going to be expensive. So the car was still sitting there. I didn't know. We didn't really have the money to get it towed or anything. And we just called the mayor and said, hey, the car's going to be there for a little bit. We'll get it figured out. And the next day, the pastor walked in and said, someone in the church came in. They heard about your situation, and they're going to pay that $700. The $700 doesn't seem like much, but to 21, 22-year-old Aaron, who it took like a few weeks to make $700, that was huge. And they paid it. And I never knew who did it. I never knew who paid the bill. It was just taken care of. God was working behind the scenes. And if we were to pass the microphone around, we'd hear story after story, even in this room, of how God had been working behind the scenes in all of our lives. We need to never forget that God is currently working right now, behind the scenes, doing some things that we don't understand, working in ways that we can't comprehend, and God is still actively working right here and right now. Another thing that we see that God was currently doing is God was bringing unity among his people. Verses 12 and 13 talks about 2.5 tribes of the nation of Israel. It says, the sons of Reuben, the sons of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the people of Israel, as Moses had told them. About 40,000 ready for war passed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. Now, what's this tribe of Reuben, tribe of Gad, half tribe of Manasseh? When the division of land was broken up, these 2.5 tribes said, we'd like this land here east of the Jordan. We don't want to go west. We want to live east of the Jordan. We like this land right here. And Moses said, as long as you will go in over the Jordan and help the rest of your brothers seize and possess this land, then you can have this land right here. And so here they are, and they go in unity. They could have stayed. They had their land. They had their possession. But they kept their word. They walked in unity with their brothers. They walked in solidarity with the other tribes of Israel. This commitment was a step of unity, and they just weren't in it for themselves. As we follow Jesus, we can often approach following Jesus as an individual sport. This is my lane. I'm doing my thing. Everybody else is doing their thing. Following Jesus is not an individual sport. It is a team sport. We are doing it together. We are to be with one another and help one another. And just as these tribes said they're going to help their brothers possess the land, sisters possess the land, we as the people of God should be in it to help one another. And in the church, we shouldn't say, that's not my job. The kingdom mission is all of our job. That's why when I walk through the church, I see a piece of trash, I pick it up. It is not my job to pick up trash. But this is my church too. This is my mission too. As the people of God, when one wins, all of us win. When one of us falls, all of us feel it. So we need one another. There's not individual lanes in the kingdom of God. It's the people following together. Yeah, do we have some specialties? Yeah. Can everybody get up here and preach at the same time? Yeah, we could try it. It'd be weird. Everybody speaking at the same time. But God brings unity among his people. He is the author of unity. And all we have to do is walk in obedience to him. And we will experience unity. And we'll walk together as the people of God. Third thing that God is doing currently in the church and has did for the people of the nation of Israel in this moment is he didn't just work behind the scenes and bring unity among his people, but He opened doors and he granted favor. Look at verses 14 and 15. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him, just as they stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord said to Joshua, and then it goes on. Now what does this tell us? It tells us that God took this moment and he really opened doors for Joshua. He really exalted him. He bolstered his leadership. The people had confidence in Joshua now in his leadership in this moment. And God did that. God's the one who exalted him. God's the one who opened those doors for Joshua. And God does the same today. He opens doors for the gospel. He opened doors for our families, for our future. He grants us good favor with folks so that we can do well and we can accomplish God's purpose in our world. When I was in college, each year I'd go from year to year always needing a little bit of scholarship money to make the balance so that I didn't have to borrow any money for college. And after my freshman year, going into my sophomore year, I decided to serve as a summer missionary. And I served as a summer missionary after that year, and I was in Detroit, Michigan, and there was a scholarship that came available in our local association. But the scholarship deadline and the scholarship interview time happened while I was gone. And so I got the application in before the deadline. I was able to mail that in. But the actual interview I couldn't do, and they postponed my interview and postponed the decision for a couple of weeks so that I could apply. I don't know how that happened. So I went into this big church in Memphis and interviewed with these folks. And I got a call the next week that myself and another young lady received the scholarship. It was just what I needed to fully pay for tuition that year. God opened that door. He extended the time of the interview. God made that possible. And folks, maybe you can look at your life and see all the ways that God has worked and he's opened doors. The book of Revelation chapter 3 verses 7 and 8 says this, and the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. God opens doors for his people. God opens doors for you. And we need to be praying that God would open doors so we might share the gospel, we might love our neighbors well, that we might be the people of God doing what God wants us to do. You know, it's so easy to forget the things that God is doing right now. Maybe we're so focused on the past, or we're so focused on the future, or we're so dealing with our problems that we forget the things that God is currently actively doing. Never forget what God has done. Never forget what God is doing. And the final one is this. Never forget what God can do. The concluding verses, we see the same thing we see at the beginning. We see instructions and an explanation. But this time, God's not the one giving the instructions. Joshua is actually passing God's instructions on to the nation of Israel. And then he's giving an explanation. He's explaining why it's so important. Let's look at those instructions, verses 19 down through verse 23. It says, and the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones, which they had taken out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. 8 miles. 8 miles from the Jordan River. Can you imagine? Toting. 8 miles. They didn't pick up stuff like this. They picked up stuff like this. And they toted. These guys must have been ripped. And 8 miles. I'm just a little flabbergasted by that. And then verse 21 says, and he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Listen to this. Then you shall let the children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea. He's connecting it to what happened in the time of Moses, which he dried up for us until we passed over. We must tell the stories of God's faithfulness. See, that's the instruction that Joshua gives them. As these monument has been set up, right, as this memorial is being set up, Joshua tells them, pass it on to your kids. Tell them of God's faithfulness. Tell them what God's done in your life. And he even says, and God did the same thing for us in my generation as we passed over the Red Sea. Practice that we've done over the years in our home is to sit down and dinner. We don't do it all the time, every time, but once a week, a couple times a month. And we're sitting down at the dinner table together as a family. Talk to our kids about their day, what something interesting happened this week, something, you know, fun happened, what's God been doing. And Julie and I take it as opportunity to tell them stories of what God's done in our life and how God's been faithful. And we don't tell them everything because at certain ages they don't need to hear everything. But as they get older, we tell them more of God's faithfulness. We tell them more of God's goodness. We don't want to hide too much of God's goodness. We don't want to hide any of God's goodness from them. I want them to see God's grace. I want them to see God's faithfulness. I encourage you to do the same. Be talking with your family about God's goodness and mercy. If they don't want to hear it, keep talking to your family about God's goodness and mercy. Tell them that he is faithful, that he is good, that he is worthy of trust. He is worthy of hope. He is worthy of all things because he is the only one worthy of their trust in their lives. Now, why was this so important? Why was it so important for them to pass it on? Why was it so important that they never forget what God can do? Two things. We find them in verse 24. Here's what Joshua says. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. We must never forget what God can do so that the nations will hear. So the nations will know. So the nations will know God is good. I mean, look at verse 24. It's pretty clear. It says, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. First reason for this memorial was so that all nations might know. All nations might know that God, Yahweh, is the one true God. There is none other. This whole pile of stones was to say that there is but one God, and he's worthy of worship. He's worthy of honor. The reality is the gospel is not just for us. It's good news for the whole world. If I had the cure to a deadly disease, and I only shared it with my immediate family and those who are closest to me, I wouldn't be that great of a guy, would I? We've got the gospel. The greatest news in all of humanity. And we tend as God's people just to keep it to ourselves. Here's what Jesus said. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We must never forget because the nations need to know. We must never forget because our neighbors need to know. We must never forget so that those who don't know Jesus need to know. And we must never forget God's goodness and his faithfulness. But not only do we not forget what God can do just because we want the nations to know or God wants the nations to know, but also so the people of God will worship, so that we will worship him. Look at the word he uses there. He says that you may fear the Lord your God forever. The word fear also means awe and reverence. To get a better understanding of the word, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which is one that was contemporary to Jesus' day, they had it in Hebrew initially, but because many people spoke Greek, they translated it into Greek. And the Greek translation of Joshua 4:24 says the word worship. So to fear God is to awe him, reverence him, ultimately to worship him. And so the reason for this memorial stone is the people of God would not worship the memorial stone and make it to a monument, but the people of God might worship God when they saw and were reminded of what God had done. We see how much God loves us and what he's done for us. We can't help but worship him. Yesterday I was reminded of an older hymn. I don't know if we've sung it here. We may have. About a little over a decade ago, Mercy Me did a cover of this song. The title of the song is this, The Love of God is Greater Far. And I want to read you this because as I was reminded of this verse this weekend, I was on my back porch about to shout, and I was afraid I'd scare the cows and the neighbors, so I didn't. But here's what this verse says. Could we the ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. There are not enough words. There's not enough ink. There's not enough paper to record the faithfulness and goodness of God. But what there is what we have, and that is our worship. It's the whole point of these stones piled up in Joshua 4 at Gilgal. Was so that when the people of God saw them, they would worship him. When they saw them, they wouldn't worship that pile. They wouldn't bow down before that pile, but they would worship the one and true living God. And my prayer for you is, when you remember what God has done and what he is doing and what he can do, that your response will be to worship him. That my response will be to worship him. So what do we do with Joshua 4? I want to give you three practical things today. How do we never forget? How do we remember what God's been up to? Number one, we read his word. And we read God's word. It is a reminder daily, regularly, of God's faithfulness. I don't know about you, but when I skip a day of Bible reading, I know. I skip a week of Bible reading, my wife knows. I skip a month, everybody else knows. Because I need to be reminded of God's faithfulness. I need to be reminded of God's goodness. And so I encourage you, just a simple reminder of spending a little time in God's word every day. Be it a verse, be it a chapter, be it a few verses. But spend some time being reminded of God's faithfulness. Another thing that I do, and it's not for everybody, but I record, not all the time, a journal. I write down notes of sermons I listen to. I write down the things that God's teaching me. Jot down a few things. It could be a few sentences here and there. I record events that God's doing in my life. I write down a journal so I can look back and I can remember the way God's been faithful to me and things God's done in my life. And the third and probably the most important is this. Build memorials and not monuments. Build memorials and not monuments. If you plant a tree in remembrance of something that God's done, then plant that tree. But realize it's a tree. And it's just a reminder of God's faithfulness. You put a plaque anywhere in the church, don't you worship that plaque. But worship the one who provided. Worship the one who's worthy of worship. We build, our tendency as humans, beings, is to build monuments. And God's calling us to build memorials. Things that simply remind us of the one who is worthy of worship and praise. Now, I don't know where all of us stand. And I know in a room this size that there's liable to be someone here that doesn't know the Lord. It's never begun a relationship with him. And when I'm talking about remembering all that God's done and you don't even know him as Lord and Savior, here's the reality. The reality is that sin entered into our world. Adam and Eve partook of that fruit of the tree. And we see it in Genesis chapter 3. And because of that, sin entered into humanity's story. And I sinned. And because of my sin, I'm separated from God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Maybe you're here today, and that's you. You sinned and you've fallen short of the glory of God. But God loves you so much that he wouldn't leave you there. He sent his son Jesus to redeem you, to die in your place. And when Jesus died in your place, all you're left to do is simply trust him, to place your trust in him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you've never made that step to follow Jesus, I encourage you to trust him. Remember, our faithfulness is tethered to our forgetfulness. Let's pray.